Hey, this morning I do have a short message for you for sure. One of the things that I want to do, actually what I would like to do this morning, is actually just share a couple stories with you from my ministry work with Youth for Christ. I run the Campus Life Ministry. For those of you that don't know, I work with Youth for Christ Victoria, and I am the Campus Life Director. That is my super fancy title, and it's on my business cards, and it looks super professional. And if you know me at all, I'm nothing but professional. And so if you don't know that, if you can agree with me, but you don't heckle me. And so I am the Campus Life Director. What that means is I get to go into schools, partner with schools, and run mentorship programs, mentorship style programs. So some of you know this, some of you don't. So just to kind of fill you in and catch you up, I go in, we run breakfast programs, we run lunchtime sports clubs. We help out sometimes with field trips and that kind of stuff as chaperones. We've actually chaperoned a couple of dances back in the day. That was the first thing I ever did was chaperone a Halloween dance. It was super awkward because I was talking to a dad that was chaperoning the Halloween dance, and he said, "Hey, which one's yours?" And he pointed at the kids, and I was like, "None." And he's like, "What are you doing here, old man?" I was like, "Oh, I better approach this better than I usually do." And so those are some of the things that we do, and we do some one-on-one mentorship with students that are kind of handpicked. And so that's what campus life looks like. We're in our 11th year in the schools. Can you believe that? Working 11 years. I know, I can't believe it when I look back at it. I'm like, 11 years in schools. Man, I'm far too young to have been working that long already, but I guess I'm not. And so this morning, I want to share just a couple of good stories of what's been happening with our ministry. Because what I want to do this morning is I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you so that you can see and know that God is always working. Like, He's always at work. Like, we sing about it. And we sing, "Hey, even when I don't see you, you're working. Even when I don't hear you, you're working. Even when I don't know it, you're working." And so this morning, I want to encourage you with that God is working. He's working towards drawing people to Himself. And so I have a scripture for you this morning. It's out of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Hey, you guys like my slides? Pretty nice, eh? Spring. I worked pretty hard on that. Two slides. Paul's going, "Yeah, your two slides that you worked on. I worked hard on those. I really did." And then I still got it wrong. Paul had to fix it for me. Thanks, Paul. I super appreciate your gifts and your talents as well. Hey, let me read this for you. "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them." And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. And so a lot of you, I think, would know this by now. And again, if you've just started kind of meeting with us and joining with us here in the new year, you don't know my whole story. Fall for me didn't, I knew I was going to say that too. Fall for me didn't go exactly how I thought fall was going to go for me. So our school year, obviously, our work year, ministry year really ramps up because we are in school. So we go with the school year. So the beginning of our work year at Campus Life begins in September, because that's when we're going into the schools, and then we follow the school year. Not that I'm not working the other months. I'm working very, very hard at that as well, and you can come see me about that, and I'll fill you in on some of that. So, but fall didn't really go how I thought it was going to go for me this last year, this last school year. I had been on sabbatical. I had taken a sabbatical over the summer, so July, August, and then into September, because I didn't want it to really affect the school year and the ministry. So I was only going to take 1 month of sabbatical off from school, my ministry stuff in schools. And so I had this big plan. I was going to come in well-rested. I had some time of prayer. I had some thoughts. I had some ideas as to what the ministry was going to look like, how we were going to grow it, how we were going to meet new kids, how we were going to bring them into a place where we could have conversations with Jesus. And I had all this laid out. And there was a lot of time of prayer and thought into it. And then I got back from my sabbatical, and I got super sick. And I had to deal with some pretty serious health issues that pretty much laid me up at home for 2 months. And I was in and out of eMERGE, and I saw far more nurses than I ever thought I'd have to see in my life. And nurses saw far more of me than I ever thought they would see of me. And I am not a needle guy. Like, I know you guys see me and I'm all tattooed and everything. But that's different because that's like skin deep. Needles going inside of my body is an issue for me. Like, it's an issue. Like, when I have to get blood work done, I'm the guy that tells the nurse or the lady or the technician, or I tell you, I have to lay down. I'm giving you a heads up because you don't want to have to catch me, and you will have to catch me. And so I'm that guy. And I got prodded, and I got, like, every time I went to eMERGE, I was like I was here last week. Do you really need more blood? It's the same blood. And so here, it was not good. And I did. I dealt with, in the middle of that, I did deal with quite a bit of physical pain as we were trying to figure out what was happening and where we were going to go with it with my specialist. And surgery was where we were going to land in the middle of all that. And, of course, surgery doesn't happen from one day to the next around here. You have to wait, and you get in line, and you just kind of wait, and then you live through it. In the middle of that, to be completely honest, I super struggled. Like, I struggled for those months. It took a toll on me, obviously, physically. I lost a pile of weight. I kind of wish that had stuck around. It didn't. I gained it all back, unfortunately. So physically, it really affected me physically. Affected me emotionally. Like, my emotions and all that were a mess. Mental health was actually not very good there for a couple of months. I know that you all were praying for me and for Heidi and for our family, and we had meals coming to our house, and I don't know that I ever had the opportunity to say thank you for loving me and my family so much. So thank you for loving us through the middle of that. I don't know that we would have been able to do it otherwise. And so this was my fall. And what I did was I sat on my couch and laid on my couch a lot. And I had a lot of time of prayer. And there was a lot of moments of tears and a lot of crying and a lot of anguish and a lot of questions for God in the middle of that. Questions like, why me? And why this? Like, couldn't it have just been a broken arm? Like, I think I could have learned something from a broken arm. Why this? And what now? Like, what happens now? Like, I'm laid up, and I had all these plans for the ministry, God, and I thought you were leading me into some things that were going to be kingdom work, and I thought you were leading me into that, God. And now what? I'm laying on the couch. I can hardly get up. And what happens to the work in schools? And what happens to the youth that I'm meeting with? And how can any of this be for good? Like, that's the question that I kept circling around back to and landing on. And landing on. And landing on. God, how can any of this be for good? It was hard. It was hard to have those conversations with God. And there were quite a few times where I asked that question and I heard nothing. It felt like I heard nothing, that I was just dealing with it on my own. And I know this. I know that that conversation and that question, that how can anything good, or how can this be for good? Like, I know that some of us have had those questions in our lives as well. Like, I know that at some point during your faith journey, you've probably asked God that very question. How can any of this be for good, God? And maybe it's something that you've gone through. Maybe it's something that you're going through right now. You find yourself landing on that question. Oh, God, how can this be for good? But then Paul reminds us in his letter to the Romans of God's goodness. He reminds us of his goodness. And we know that God causes everything to work together. Oh, don't say it, Claudio. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. The Passion Translation actually reads it like this. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good. And so what this verse does actually, it actually causes us to reorient ourselves and change our perspective regarding what our circumstances look like. It teaches us that God is at work in every aspect of our lives. And that we actually have an opportunity to align ourselves with his purpose. And in doing that, what happens is that we get to experience everything that God has for us and through us. And it's a promise. It's not a promise that guarantees that we're going to have a painless life. Like I'll put that out there right now. This isn't a promise that says, hey, pain-free life come in this way. But what it does is it assures us that God can use all the moments in our lives for our ultimate good and the ultimate good of others. So let me share these two stories with you. The first one is the story of, I'm going to call her Jenny. So Jenny is one of my Breakfast Club kids. She's a sweet kid. I really, really care about her. She's been in Canada for 2 years. So I met Jenny last year. She was in grade six. She's been here for 2 years. Her family moved here from Russia. And last year, she was a bubbly kid. She was into, like, anime, and she was into Pokemon, and she'd come in with these weird hats with, like, Pokemon stuff on it, and bright colors and bright hair and super shiny, and she was always bubbly and smiling. And she just kind of brought the party to that space. And people were like, I don't know what that girl's about, but, like, she shines. And that's Jenny. And this year, as I went back into work towards the end of January, early February, and I started kind of getting back into my rhythm of things, Jenny started coming into the breakfast program again. But then something had changed for Jenny. And I couldn't quite figure it out right away. I usually can. I can tell what's going on with my kids because I know them and because I'm there every day. And that's part of our ministry is that we're consistent. We want to be present in these kids' lives every day because we want to be the people they can count on. And so Jenny started coming in, and she was already different. She was a little darker. She seemed, her attitude and her characters felt heavier. She was dressing differently, darker clothes, darker hair, darker makeup. She was listening to darker, heavier music. And what happened was I noticed that she wasn't hanging out with her regular friends. She was sitting by herself at one of the tables. And I could tell that she was on meds. Like, I could tell she had some meds just because of just the way she talked and all that sort of thing. And one of the things that happened for me and Jenny was that Jenny's parents split up. And that was one of the triggers for her. And that's usually the case with my Breakfast Club kids or my school kids, is I notice when something's happening at home because it starts to show itself at school. And so Jenny had confided in me that her parents had split up. And then in the middle of that, her grandpa back in Russia had gotten terminally ill. And so mom had to fly back to Russia and spend some time, actually several months with him. As they were working through that. So Jenny was living with her dad. Her dad's a good person, and he's doing the best he can. And so what her dad would have to do, because he works, he would have to drop Jenny off in the morning early. And so I get to my school, usually about 20 to 8. It gives me about 20 minutes to get ready and get my stuff all set out for the kids before we open the doors. And Jenny was sitting outside of the school because they're not allowed in the building until the bell goes, unless they're in my space. And it was cold, so Jenny said, hey, can I come in? It's super cold out. I'm like, well, technically, you're not supposed to be wandering around in the school. So Jenny, if you want to come in and stay out of the cold, why don't you come in with me and you can be my helper? And so I invited Jenny into my space, and she was in charge of putting out my chairs and my games, my board games, my card games, all the kind of stuff that we put on our tables. And so that's Jenny's job. And so then for a few weeks, that's what me and Jenny were doing. Every morning, coming in, going into the office, picking up the keys, and then having conversations about life. We talked about music, and we talked about this amazing new band that she had found, Nirvana. Oh, Jenny, I'm kind of old. I may actually be older than your parents, Jenny, because it's not a new band. It's actually quite an old band. It's actually a classic band nowadays. And so we talked about all this kind of stuff, and then she let me know that she had been struggling with anxiety and depression, and she opened up, and she let me know all these things. And she knows I'm a Jesus guy. Like, she knows that. We've had these conversations when they presented themselves in schools. We have to be very wise in our schools because we're in public schools. We're not going to a public schools to start our Christian club. We're not meeting at the pole to prayer. We're not doing these things. We're being wise because God has given us this opportunity, and now we have to steward that well. And so, but when I have the opportunity and when the Holy Spirit pushes me into those moments, then I can say, hey, this is where I'm going to let you know that I'm a Jesus guy. And so Jenny knows that. She knows that about me. And so that's why she was confiding in me in some of these issues. And she didn't know when Mom was coming back, if she was coming back from Russia, and all these sorts of things. And so I let her know, hey, Jenny, just so you know, we're praying for you. Like the people that I work with at our staff meetings, we're praying for you. And those are the conversations that I'm having. And then about 2 weeks ago, she's waiting for me outside, and we're going in, and it's small talk. And we're small talking all the way through the hallway. And then all of a sudden, she hits me with this. Hey, I had a dream last night. I'm like, do I want to know? Like, I don't know if I want to know what your dream was about. Like, are you dreaming about Nirvana? Like, I don't know what's happening here, Jenny. She goes, oh, I said to her, okay, well, let's hear it. And I kind of steeled myself for whatever weirdness a middle schooler is going to tell you. And she said, well, I had a dream about Jesus last night. Oh, that changed everything. I'm sorry, Jenny, you did what? Well, I was dreaming that I was in my room sleeping, and Jesus came into my room. And he said to me, Jenny, you don't have to pray to all your other gods anymore. You can pray to me, and I will help you. Now, I know that you guys know that I'm hardly ever at a loss for words. Like, I have words. We know this about me. We're not fooling anybody. I got too many words sometimes. In that moment, I was speechless. And all I could think of was, that doesn't happen here. I have friends that work overseas missions, that work with, like, in Muslim countries and that sort of thing. And those are the stories that you hear from these countries, where Muslim men are coming to Christ because Jesus is showing up to them in their dreams and telling them, follow me. Like, these are the stories you hear from overseas. And I'm like, that doesn't happen here. I'm like, why do you think he did that, Jenny? She goes, well, because I have been struggling so badly with my anxiety and my depression that I actually made up my own little gods. And I made them up, and I drew them, and I was praying to them every time I was struggling. And so this is what she had been doing. And Jesus showed up and said, you don't have to pray to your other gods, Jenny. You can pray to me, and I will be there for you. So our conversations have obviously changed in the mornings. We're talking about this because I'm trying to remind Jenny, because we're forgetful people, and I don't want her to forget that Jesus showed up in her life. And you think the story would end there, but it actually doesn't end there. On Friday, Lindsay, our executive director, he was meeting with someone who was going to be a potential board member for Youth for Christ. So they were meeting on Friday morning. This guy goes to a particular church. At that church, Lindsay had been sharing about some of the work that Youth for Christ does. So this guy's meeting with Lindsay on Friday. And he says to Lindsay, hey, you know that story you told about the girl and her dad and Jesus showing up in her dreams and all that? I think I know her dad. And Lindsay's like, what? Please explain. And so this fellow who's going to come on our board actually starts asking Lindsay, well, did you say she's Russian? She's only been here for a couple years. Her mom's back in Russia taking care of sick dad. She's living with... Yeah, Lindsay's like, I think we're talking about the same person. I don't think there's another one that's going through exactly this right now. And this guy goes, I work two desks away from him. Like, we are friends at work. The conversation is going to change now as he approaches this man and says, hey, I don't know how he's going to do it. Like, I don't know if he's going to go, hey, I heard about your daughter at my church. I'm like, I'd love to be a fly on the wall to see how he approaches that. But he's going to approach it, and the conversations are going to change. Because God uses everything in our lives, even when we can't see it, he's working. The second story I have for you is the story of Joe. That's the name we'll use. So Joe, so my school partnerships have been with a particular district the 11 years that I've been at it. And again, because we're on YouTube and all that kind of stuff, if you want details, you can come see me after. But we've been with a particular school district the whole time. Not that we haven't approached other school districts. We have approached other school districts here. And we approached one particular school district a number of years ago when Danny was the liaison officer at this particular middle school. She opened the door and had opened up an opportunity for me to go in and meet with the principal. And we kind of pitched the Heroes Resiliency Program that I had been teaching. The principal loved the idea, loved the program, took it back to the district. The district was like, no. Youth for Christ? Absolutely not. That's never going to happen here. We want nothing to do with the Christians. We want nothing to do with the Jesus people. Thanks. It's a good program. No thanks. And so we moved on. And so, again, Lindsay was at a different church, and he was sharing some of our campus life stuff and some of the stuff that Youth for Christ is up to. There was a lady at that church who was the counselor of this particular middle school that said no to me. She emailed Lindsay and she said, hey, do you guys do one-on-one mentorship? It so happens that I do. And so Lindsay put her in touch with me. And what happened was this. She has a young student, Joe, who is from a split family again. Sweet kid, struggling with some anxiety stuff, struggling to try and figure out where he's at, who he's at, where he's going, all that. And so she'd been working with him, but some of the questions that he brought into her sessions were about Jesus. Hey, what's Jesus about? What's the church about? What's the Bible about? This lady is a Christian. And she was like, oh, those are different questions than I usually get in here. We need to partner this boy with someone that's going to be able to walk some real faith stuff with him. So she reached out to us. And so we had a meet and greet. And at the end of the day, we are Youth for Christ. Like, that's the name of our organization, YFC/Youth Unlimited. And we operate as YFC, Youth for Christ. And so this counselor has me do a one-on-one meet and greet with this young boy. We sit down, we talk. I'm not a dummy. I show up with Timbits because, come on, that's youth work 101. Show up with some candy or something. The kids are going to love you. And like, if I could right now, I'd give you some candy and you guys would love me too. That means you're just, you know, children at heart. That's what I'm saying. Not that you're immature. And so... So I meet this boy, we hit it off and everything, but again, because we're Youth for Christ, what happens is she has to have the okay from mom, who he spends most of his time with, and she has to write a letter of consent that says, I understand that this is Youth for Christ, and I would like my son to meet with him. And the mom says yes to this. And so now what's happening with Joe is once a week, I get to go to Joe's school, pick him up at school, sign him out, and take him out for an hour, and we get to go for a walk, or we get, mostly what we've done is we end up at Tillicum Mall drinking milkshakes. That's not going to be good for my waistline, because they let you do whatever you want with those milkshakes. Like, it's not good for me. But what happens is now I get to pick Joe up, and again, I take him off campus, and we go for an hour, and we get to talk about all the things he wants to talk about. And so the first thing I'm trying to do is convince him that the Seattle Mariners are not a good baseball team and that the Red Sox are. And so I think I'm going to indoctrinate him like I did with my own children. I'm trying very hard. But at the same time, I said to Joe, hey, Joe, I hear that you have some questions about Jesus and you have some questions about faith and church and the Bible. I just want you to know that I'm here on these days and we can have conversations about those things as well. And I'll answer them to the best ability that I can. okay, he said, that sounds good. So that was our first week. Second week, I pick him up, and again, we went for milkshakes, and it was delicious and fattening. And tomorrow's Monday. I got to go again. Yikes. And so that we had our milkshakes, and we're talking again about whatever. And then he says, hey, I have a question. Who wrote the Bible? I'm like, oh, that's what we're starting with? Oh, that is such a long answer. It's not an easy answer, Joe. But I started answering that question for him, and I'm going back to like all my like Bible college stuff, going, okay, yeah, Alpha, well, right? And so we're getting through some of that, and then he goes, and he stops me halfway through, because again, he's a middle school kid, and he's like, hey, wait a minute, I got another question for you. And I'm like, oh, I hope it's still about the Bible, because that's where I'm at right now. He's like, what happened with Noah? And like all those people that didn't get on the boat. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to tell this kid they died. I'm trying to speak life and hope into him. I'm like, well, they all drowned. And so this is the conversation that we're having. At the same time, we're in the middle of it all, and we're laughing about it, and I'm answering his questions, and our time is up, and I'm driving him back to the school, and I have these bookmarks that someone gave me that has all the different things that you could be going through in life, depression, anxiety, fear, questions, and then there's verses next to it. I mean, it's very, people have, you've seen these kind of, so someone had gifted me some and said, hey, if you, could give these to any kid at school, you can. I'm like, well, I'm not really handing out, pamphlets at school, but here we are, and this kid's going, I have a Bible at home. I'm trying to figure out what it all means. I'm trying to figure out how that works for my life, and here in my console, I have this little bookmark that says, hey, if you're feeling this way, here's some scripture that'll speak to that. And so I was able to give them that. And so that's where I'm at with this kid in this school that said, no, you will never be here. Now I'm in that school, not just in that school. Now I'm literally picking this kid up because he wants to know more about who Jesus is. And you think the story would end there, but it doesn't. This week, I get an email from this counselor with the subject line that says, time for another? So I call her, and I'm like, what does that mean? And Joe's best friend has an outreach worker that has just resigned from her position, and they're looking for an outreach worker for Joe's friend. And they've asked me if I would be willing to take on a second student. And the second student just so happens to have a bunch of the same questions about faith that Joe has. And so starting this Tuesday, I get to pick up Johnny. And we're going to be going out. Listen, clap all you want, but please pray for me, because I know that Johnny has heard that Joe is getting milkshakes. And I'm only working out 3 times a week. That's not enough. So please, please pray for me in the middle of that. I share these stories, folks, this morning. I share these stories not to pat myself on the back and Youth for Christ on the back. What we say around the office all the time is we could care less if Youth for Christ ever becomes famous. I don't care. I don't care that if I work in my school district for 20 plus years and nobody in that school district ever knows that it was Claudio, I can live with it. I actually had one of my principals say to me, I feel so bad that I'm trying to keep you under the radar. And I have all these awards that I could put your name up for, community awards, community involvement, community volunteer. She goes, every time I see one of these come across my desk, I think of you. And I feel bad because I can't, because I want to keep you where we're at. And I said to her, again, I don't care if anybody ever knows that I did this. I just want to do this. This is enough for me. And so this morning, I'm not sharing these stories so that you can all say what a good job, Claudio, you've done. I'm sharing these stories with you this morning because I want to encourage you in your life, because God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So this morning, if you find yourself in a spot where you're asking, God, what good can come from this? God, what good can come from me? If you're here this morning and you're thinking, I'm far too young to make an impact, or I'm far too old to make an impact, or I'm far too broken, or I'm far too lost, know this, that God is working things together in you and through you for his purpose. Amen.